Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
But first today, Sir Rod Stewart is still rocking at almost 80. He's recording new songs, but he knows that delivering songs like Maggie May, You Wear It Well and Baby Jane keeps his loyal audience happy. When he comes to Kilmainham in May, he'll hopefully give us his rendition of the Jim McCann classic Grace, and also this one.
First cut is the deepest.
Well, recently, Sir Rod Stewart took the time to speak to me about his life and times and about some of the songs that still mean a lot to him personally. I began by asking him about that song Grace, about Grace Gifford and Joseph Mary Plunkett, and if he'll sing it at his concert on May the 26th.
Yes, yeah. It's, you know, I think I've tried doing it at Vegas. It goes him down very well, but certainly in Dublin. I'll even do it twice if requested. It's one of the most beautiful songs I've ever sung.
As we gather in the chapel here in old Kilmainham Jail, I think about these past few weeks. Oh, will they say we failed? From our school days they have told us we must yearn for liberty. Yet all I want in this dark place is to have you here with me.
Did you hear the Grace song originally? Was it at Celtic you heard them singing it?
Yeah, indeed. I think 12 years ago, 13 years ago, when it was they only seemed to sing it, and in those days anyway, at the Scottish Cup final when we were in it every year. But yeah, that's where I heard it.
Now, you weren't born in Scotland, I know that. I think you're the youngest of five, and you were born in England. You're a Londoner.
Yeah. No, all of us came from England. The only Scotsman was my dad and his four brothers. So when I was young, I was totally unaware of my Scottish heritage. And so I see my other brother, who's passed now, and he had pictures of all the great footballers, Scottish footballers, from newspaper cuttings up on his wall, and I couldn't work it out until they took me to see my first England-Scotland match at Wembley. So then the penny dropped, and then I've supported Scotland and almost everything Scottish, Celtic, and now I've got my own whiskey line, which pays tribute to my Scottish heritage.
Do you mind me asking you about your break? I'm sure you're probably sick of talking about it, but was it Long John Baldry who spotted you first playing the harmonica in Twickenham?
Yeah. I'd been to see a place called Eel Pie Island, which is historic in British rock and roll, or London rock and roll. It's a little island in the middle of the Thames, and you have to cross a little bridge to get onto it, and there's 10p to get in those days. So I went to see Long John, and after the set, I went back to Twickenham Railway Station. I was travelling on my own, and I was playing the harmonica and singing, and Long John happened to be on the platform as well. And he came over and he said, "Young man, would you like to join my band and be backup singer or play the harmonica?" He was very, very posh. And so that was it. And I started out at £35 a week, which in the 60s was a fortune.
But I gather you were so young. Did he have to ask the permission of your mum at that time?
Yes, he did, bless him. And my mum and dad used to run a very, very small sweet shop, tobacconist, newsagents. And he would come, and the first time I had to stay away, he would come and ask my mum, and he brought her a small bunch of flowers, which was absolutely beautiful. Actually, he came in and said, "Is it okay if Rod joins the band?" And she said, "Well, as long as he's home by 11 o'clock every night." And John said, "Well, I don't think that's possible, Mrs. Stewart."
Was Maggie May, it was the B-side, wasn't it, Rod, of the single Reason to Believe, is that correct? And was that your first hit?
Yeah, Maggie May was the first one. It was actually a B-side. It was supposed to, it wasn't even supposed to be on the album. That's how much the music people know. But they said, "We've only got 8 or 9 tracks. We need one more." And I said, "Oh, I've got this one floating around that I haven't put any words to, although I did have the opening line of Wake Up Maggie. I hadn't had a chance to finish it. So when I presented it to the record company, they said, well, this is no good. It hasn't got a bridge or a middle eight or anything people can sing. And they said, OK, well, we'll put it on anyway. And so it was the B-side of Reason to Believe, and a disc jockey in Cleveland turned it over, God bless him, and the rest is history, as they say.
Wake up, Maggie, I think I got something to say. Late September and I really should be back at school.
Were they surprised around the company, and were you surprised at how big it became, Rod?
Oh, absolutely. You know, those days, you know, you didn't go into a studio to make hit records. You went in to make a complete album like a book and tell as many stories. One didn't look at the you know, the top 10, or I never did anyway. I just wanted to make an album.
Did it change your life completely?
Oh yes, it certainly did. In every way possible that's good. It's given me a wonderful life and wonderful kids, and I can do a lot for charity now, which I do, and I'm absolutely enjoying life. Can't wait to get back to Dublin. Do you have an apartment there now?
Yeah, so I hear, near the Aviva.
Yeah, just up the road, yeah.
Would you spend more time here?
Yeah, we intend to, but it's amazing because I've only been over there. It's decorated now. My wife, good wife did it, and I'm just so busy having a chance to get over there. But I think we're coming over in the first week of May.
Ronnie Wood, who you go back a long way, he's got a home in Ireland too, in Kildare, of course. You originally played with him in, you know, Jeff Beck Group and Faces. Do you still see Ronnie?
Not as much as I used to. We email each other occasionally or text. But, you know, he's busy with the Stones and I'm busy with my career. And on top of that, we're trying to finish off a Faces album, which I rest assured will come out one day, even if all of us are under the ground. There's only three of us left now. But, yeah, we stay in contact. He's a great lad.
That would be amazing to have a new Faces album. Do you think it might happen?
Well, we've got lots of tracks. We've all got to sit round and choose which are the best ones and finish a few of them off. But it will be done.
Rod, you're staying with me, and we're going to talk about a song that had a huge impact on a lot of people, and it was banned by the BBC. Join us in a few moments.
Tweet at Miriam O'Call.
Welcome back. Well, Sir Rod Stewart is still with me. And Rod, I suppose everybody is a favourite song of yours, but for many people, including me, The Killing of Georgie is key. I know Boy George talks about it. When you wrote that song in the 1970s, it was very personal, but it was also very brave. Do you agree?
Yeah, I didn't think it was brave at the time. It's I've been surrounded by a lot of gay men all my life. I'm as straight as a die, but I don't know why I've told you that. I've got eight kids, but it was written about a great friend of mine and the Faces, who was obviously homosexual. And he was a very handsome black guy, and he got murdered on the streets of New York. So I wrote the song and put it on the record. The BBC banned it, as usual. But the great thing about it was, guys come up to me nowadays, now they've grown up, and they say, thank you for writing that song. You know, I was in a very, very dark place and it helped me through a dark period. Just, do you know the story of Boy George and his mum?
I don't, actually.
His mum bought him The Killing of Georgie, and when we were touring together, he told us on stage. He said, my mum bought me this sort of record. He said, and he put it in his sock drawer next to his bed. And when he opened it, the record was there, the 45, The Killing of Georgie. And it was a way of his mother saying to George that, I know you're gay. Which is, I think, is so beautiful.
That's a beautiful story, actually. His mum was from Dublin, actually, as well, Rod.
Oh, really? Really? Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, but the song, like the words, I actually printed them off like Georgie Boyd.
The lyrics are good, too.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right there. But they are beautiful in it. Like, Georgie Boy was gay, I guess, nothing more, nothing less, the kindest guy I ever knew. His mother's tears fell in vain the afternoon George tried to explain that he needed love like all the rest. Did it take you long to write that?
Well, Dolly, it's so long ago, I can't remember. I'm not the sort of guy who can just sit down and, you know, knock out a set of lyrics easily. It probably did, you know, but we'll definitely play that. I don't think we played that the last time we were over in Dublin, so I'll put that in the set list, I think.
Oh, yeah. Changing ways, so-called liberated days. A story comes to mind, a friend of mine.
You could be sitting back and resting on your laurels. As you said earlier, you do a lot of charity work. You've also campaigned about the menopause. I know that was from your wife, Penny. You're housing Ukrainians, all the hospital scans, even potholes. Why do you get involved so much in so many issues?
Well, two reasons. You know, I'm a knight of the realm now, and I think if you become a knight, you've got to prove that you're doing something correct and helping others, and hoping others will follow suit. Trust me, I do not do it for the publicity. I can go out in Oxford Street and take my trousers down; I'll be in the papers. I do it because I genuinely care, and I think it's my duty.
And for instance, when you did the potholes, I mean, that was, you took it upon yourself just to do that because it was potholes on your road. Not everyone listening to me this morning will know that story.
Yeah, the roads, particularly in London and in the suburbs where I live, and well out in the country, I was driving my Ferrari and it got stuck in a pothole. It was really ripped the tyres and the wheel. And then a couple of days later, I saw an ambulance stuck in the same pothole with the emergency light on. And I thought, well, this is dreadful. So I had to do something about it. So I got a team together, got all the equipment, put our high-vis jackets on, and went out and did it and filmed it, sent it to the council. And, of course, then it went on the media. And the council came and rectified it all about 3 weeks later. So it worked.
When I was saying to people I was interviewing you, everybody kind of smiled because you're at, I think, a stage in your life where everyone likes you. But how do you stay healthy? Is it true that you underwater swim a lot? And that was a tip from Frank Sinatra.
Oh, yeah, absolutely true. It's very important if you're a vocalist because it all comes from your lungs. And the more air you can keep in your lungs and your diaphragm, the better the notes will come out and stronger. So, yeah, Sinatra said do a lot of underwater swimming. It'll expand your lungs and give you a better vocal quality. Now, some people may disagree on my vocal qualities, but it does seem a lot of people love it.
No, you've kept your voice the way it always was, despite the fact you had... Did you have two bouts with cancer, Rod? One thyroid, one prostate cancer?
Yeah, I did, yeah. The thyroid one was not threatening, so I don't like to think that I fought cancer. I went into hospital, I was out in the afternoon, but it was still cancerous, but the other one was pretty serious.
But you're well now?
All good now, my darling, yeah. It's been over 5 years, so let's hope it's going to work for King Charles as well.
Absolutely. You've got 8 healthy children. Do you appreciate a lot now, not just your own health, but the fact that you have 8 healthy children?
Oh, yeah, indeed. When you see what's going on around the world, I mean, I know it's an old saying, but I remember when my mum and dad and I used to leave food, they would tell me off. They go, there's millions of people starving in Africa or something along those lines. And I have to keep reminding my kids, you know, look at the Gaza Strip. Look at the Ukraine. How lucky you are. So all I can do is that.
Do you think you're a different father now that you're slightly older, or do you think you were always a good father?
I think most dads think they've made mistakes. I mean, my big mistake was I spent a lot of time on the road and away from home, you know, in the late 70s, early 80s. So I sort of missed out on Kim and Sean's upbringing. I've since adjusted that now. I spend a lot of time at home with the kids. But you can't stop me from going out on tour. This is what I say to their mothers. Mm. I say, look, you knew what you were getting yourself in for. Don't expect me to give this up now. This is what I love. there's a happy medium somewhere.
But the great thing about your wife, Penny, is she's always out doing other things, including being a special constable.
Yeah, she absolutely loves it. She's got a torn meniscus at the moment, so she's out of duty, but she misses it so bad. It's a lovely outpouring for her. You know, she was on the Queen's funeral and the King's coronation, which was thrilling.
Do you think at all about your legacy, Rod, or do you hate that kind of talk? I mean, you're still making music all the time. You still gig all the time. Do you take stock? Will you take stock next year at a big age? Will anything change?
Well, I've definitely slowed up. I will slow up next year a bit, although the offers keep pouring in. I must be doing something right. I think it's about finding a happy medium, which is what I intend to do next year on my 80th. I don't know yet, to be honest with you. I've yet to fathom it out and talk to my wife what I'm going to do. But I'm not going to retire. I'd like to actually do a tour with Jules Holland, a small tour, small theatres, with our Swing album, which was number one in the charts.
Yeah, it was a great album, actually. You love working with him, don't you?
Oh, my God, yeah. We're blood brothers.
When you look back on your career, Rod, do you think you've been incredibly lucky, or do you think in life you make your own luck?
I think it's a combination of both. I certainly was in the right place at the right time when I was discovered. You know, things can go wrong. It's sometimes it's a simple twist of fate that will put you in a certain place and situations where things work out. But all careers are mountains and valleys. You know, my career dips, it goes down, dips and it goes down. But in the long run, I'm extremely thankful to everyone that's bought a ticket for my shows all around the world and or bought an album. Thank you very much.
You always seem so happy and upbeat. Do you wake up like that?
Oh, yes. I'm basically a happy guy. I do not take any drugs. I enjoy a couple of glasses of wine every night. I work out terrific. You know, I really work at it. Fit and able. So, you know, I'll keep going as long as I wish. Or I can't if the ticket sales are not there. But at the moment, everything's rosy.
Yeah, and you will sell out here. And as I said, you're going to play the Royal Hospital in Kilmainham on May the 26th. Tickets are on ticketmaster.ie. Before I let you go, we obviously mentioned Maggie May earlier and Grace and the Killing of Georgie. But if I was to ask you for one song that you'd like us to play out on, what would it be?
Oh, let me see. I like One More Time, the last single off my album. The last album, which is called The Tears of Hercules. One More Time, it's called.
Okay, we're going to play out on that. Rod Stewart, Sir Rod Stewart, thank you very much for chatting to me today.
See you at Kilmainham.
See you then. Bye, Rod. Take care.
Bye, baby.
It's not the colour of your hair or the beauty in your eyes that I'll be missing. Oh, the sunshine in your smile or those ruby red lips I've been kissing. Now your family don't like me, this I understand. I don't want to settle down, I'm just a rambling man. I'd rather be out rocking with my good old country band. Yes, I would. But listen, baby.
Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.